obviously you read the article, and obviously I'm sure you've seen that video and other videos. Your reaction as to being part of PETA after reading everything and seeing that?
Well, you know, zoos are already problematic because they are nothing more than animal prisons maintained for human amusement. And this zoo is especially distressing because, you know, just from even watching brief videos, you can see that there are many, many problems, including the animals being kept in tiny enclosures that that look like they're driving them insane, and that are certainly not the best for their physical well-being either. And it really... it's especially a concern because of the news about the 150 animals who are scheduled to be sent to the zoological park. You know, they're being taken from their natural habitat, and they'll be forced to a life devoid of all their basic instincts.
At the same time, you're looking at that. You're talking about a flight from, I guess, in Namibia all the way to Cuba. That's by itself, that's a stressful on anybody. On a human
right.
being, that's homeless of hours and sleep deprivation and change of time zones and everything like that. For an animal, obviously, it's also somewhat alarming.
For an animal, it's very alarming and incredibly cruel. And in this case, totally unnecessary, you know, to yank these animals out of their habitat, force them into this very stressful journey, and then... put them in this environment where they won't have adequate stimulation or space, where they won't be able to do anything natural to them, is incredible cruelty. And, you know, it's obvious that to the zoological park, animals are nothing more than bargaining chips and money-making tools. In 2008, this zoo shipped several animals to dilapidated Venezuelan zoos in exchange for medical equipment. So the animals' best interest is not at heart. In this zoo at all, and to bring more animals there is just a terrible idea.
Everybody speaks about that in Cuba. There's a problem with malnutrition and all types of diseases. I mean, we've heard everything lately from cholera to somewhat of West Nile viruses to other things. Now, if there's no meat for the regular population. I mean, just looking at the video of, let's say, the lions, knowing of what a cougar eats, normally it's about, I'd say, a big piece of meat or at least two pieces of meat a day. When you saw that video of those lions walking around there, that they looked pretty bad there, how stressed or how alarmed were you?
Well, you make a great point, which is that the resources obviously are not there. You know, there already aren't enough resources in Cuba. So to take on these animals to require a great deal in terms of food, in terms of money for proper care, it's absolutely immoral. I mean, it's a terrible idea for these animals who aren't going to get the food that they need. You know, it's a terrible idea, you know, again, for, you know, for a place where these resources could be going where they are needed. You know, it's really not fair to anyone involved. And it is very frightening to think that more animals are going to be brought into this environment that already isn't providing adequate food, adequate space, or proper care for the animals who are there now.
Ashley, let's speak about the habitat itself. I mean... these animals are, you know, I mean, you look at the Florida panther, they're obviously in the Everglades area. If I'm looking locally here in Miami, Florida, you're looking about lions. And let's put it this way. There is the San Diego Zoo. There is a Metro Zoo here, Miami Zoo here in Miami. There's Animal Kingdom. There's a lot of zoos in the United States that try to assimilate, I guess, to a certain point in somewhat of a closed environment, what they are used to where they are from, say at Africa, say at India, for regarding tigers. Now, saying that, in Cuba, of what you've seen and what you've read, how is the habitat itself going to be?
Well, what I saw in the videos that I watched of this zoo was very distressing. I mean, the habitat that these animals are being kept in, the habitats are tiny. And these are animals who, in the wild, would be roaming for great distances every day, very often. And, you know, of course, they would have a lot of stimulation, and they were just in barren cages, barren enclosures. And what we see in these situations is that captivity drives many animals insane. It causes them to do things like self-mutilate, to pace back and forth, which I did see happening in these videos. To over-groom themselves, and to exhibit other signs of severe mental distress. And especially in cases like these habitats in this video, where not only is there enough space, but there's no stimulation. It's really an incredibly cruel situation to put an animal in when you consider how intelligent they are, how curious they are, and that they're being denied everything that's natural to them.
When you speak about Cuba, obviously the Amnesty International and others speak about human rights in Cuba being violated. Now, put that in a perspective of animals.
Well, you know, I think that one thing that we see very often is that where you see animals being mistreated, you also see when you see cruelty towards animals, very often you see a similar attitude towards human beings. And so I think that we run the risk when we teach children that it's okay to use animals for our amusement in this way, or to keep them in a way that is detrimental to their health, we teach children a very dangerous lesson, because we teach them to treat their fellow humans, that it's okay to treat, you know, their fellow beings in a way that is harmful to them. And so, so this zoo really is sending a terrible message. In addition to putting animals in a very cruel situation, it's sending a very harmful message to visitors, especially children who might come there, about ignoring the needs of a living, feeling being.
What could, let's say that the Cuban government wants to do right, building this zoological park. Let's say that they want to do right. Who could they contact? Who could they help? If they do want to do a zoo, well, let's say they want to do the zoo and they want to make it look like, let's say, an animal kingdom where it's humongous and, you know, the enclosures don't look like it's supposed to be an enclosure. You know, the animals are fed right. Who can they talk to? What organizations can they speak to do it the right way?
Well, I think, first of all, it's important to point out that because zoos operate, putting profit and human entertainment over the needs of the animals, there are always concerns about cruelty to animals, with situations where animals are in zoos. And it's never fair to take an animal out of their habitat and to put them in a zoo for human entertainment. But, you know, that said, I mean, of course, PETA is always happy to advise, in any situation that we can, on how to create a kinder situation for animals. I know that there are many sanctuaries who are always willing to help when there's an animal in a situation where, you know, they don't have adequate habitat, where they are, you know, where they're malnourished, where there aren't resources there to take care of them. And, you know, recently we even saw examples of this when Bob Barker, celebrity in the United States, paid to transport several elephants from an inappropriate zoo habitat to a sanctuary where they could roam freely and, you know, and be in a healthier environment. So, so there are always people, you know, there are always, you know, groups and sanctuaries who will be willing to help, you know, any organization that wants to do something better for animals than they're already doing.
Ashley, have you all heard of this before us contacting you? Did you guys ever know what was going on in Cuba with the animals and the cruelty or the malnutrition or anything like that? Are you guys going to do something about it? Are you guys going to try to take a stand? Are you guys or this is something that you've had complaints about before?
You know, I believe that we don't have a record with this zoo at this point in time, but you know, of course, now that we do have this information, you know, we're always concerned when we see a situation like this, and you know, of course, we will be encouraging people first and foremost not to go to this zoo because that's one way that, you know, the people can help. If, you know, if the people running the zoo realize that it's not going to bring visitors, then, you know, hopefully they will look for a better situation for these animals instead of trying to make the zoo bigger as they're doing now. You know, of course, you know, they're probably, you know, probably the best thing that can be done right now is to encourage, you know, any tourists who visit this zoo. I mean, of course, you know, tourists from the United States can't go there already, but Cuba is a tourist destination for, you know, for people from all over the world. And we really hope that visitors will refrain from frequenting this zoo, you know, as a way of showing that they don't support this kind of cruelty and that resources should be put elsewhere.
Ashley, perfect. Ashley, what's your email? I'm going to send you something else that I saw today also that I thought that you should see.
Oh, sure. It's B-Y-R-N-E.
B-Y...
you know what? I'm sorry. Let me give you a different one. Ashley B. So it's A-S-H-L-E-Y and then B as in boy.
Uh-huh.
At PETA.org.
PETA.org. And your last... And your last name is B-Y-R-N-E, right?
That's correct. It's pronounced Byrne.
Yeah, Byrne. B-Y-R-N-E. Ashley, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for getting in touch. And, off the record, I think that I really appreciate you contacting us about this. And I think there is a limited amount that we can do, you know,